saying that he just wants to take all the glory for what he's going to do in our lives. But many times we don't make space for him, we don't make a capacity for him, because we sort of want the glory for ourselves. We want to have a good life, we want to be successful, we want to achieve things. And the Lord just says that what he wants to do in us is truly for his glory. And we must just say, Lord, it is for your glory. We invite you to come to change our lives for your glory. Not that we can have just a better life or a happier life or a more joyful life. We want it so that you can be glorified, Lord. So let's just continue to just ask God to heal our hearts where we've just taken the glory for ourselves maybe. And we've just said, God, I want you to change my life for me. God says, I want to change your life for me. Because it's for him. So God, we desire that you... It's a scary prayer to pray, God, that you would come and manifest your glory, God. But we know, Lord, that you will do that. As soon as we create in us that desire to please you and to be obedient, Lord, and to worship you, God, in spirit and in truth. So we ask you to do that this evening, God. Come and help us to be the reflection of Christ, to be the reflection of you, God. We're so sorry, Lord, for taking the glory for ourselves and for reflecting us, Lord, and reflecting our names and our good works, Lord. But we reflect you this evening, God. We say we reflect you, Jesus. We want to, God. And so in us, do it in us first of all, God, because we cannot reflect anything that is not inside of us, Lord. Then we're being good people and just trying to do good works, Lord. But thank you that you cause a change inside of us, God. We declare tonight, God, our hearts are good ground for you to move. We thank you for what you want to do right now, Lord, for what you want to do in the days and months ahead, Lord. You want to use us for your glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the fruit that will come from the seed that is sown tonight. God, we commit the word to you, Lord. We commit our minds to you to focus right now away from everything else that wants to steal that seed, that wants to prevent the seed of your word from bearing fruit and finding root in our hearts. And we ask you to come and do that this evening, God. Only you can. So we truly surrender this evening, God. Amen. It's wonderful to have you this evening. Just turn to someone next to you and say, the Lord is good. God loves you. God is good all the time. I don't know about you, but I've had an amazing week just connecting with people and seeing just what's happening out there. What's happening in our midst? So many people going through challenges. We started off praying with someone in the hospital on Monday, and then the rest of the week was just seeing people and people coming to me and saying, you know, certain challenges and just things that their lives are going through. And I just realized that, you know, we're in the right place, because it's definitely battle time. The devil is out there and he's just trying to take out specific people, and he's trying to destroy what God is doing. But I'm so excited because God is doing amazing things in our midst. God is really moving, and it's just exciting to be alive at times like these. Aren't you excited to be a Christian? It's awesome to live for the Lord. And so this evening, I've got a word that the Lord has been stirring in my heart also since the conference and the summit a couple of weeks ago. And so I just want us to just watch this video clip that I'm going to ask Donnery to just play right now, and then I just want you to really open your hearts and ask God what he wants to do in your life this evening, and just watch this and Have an expectation of what God wants you to experience this evening. Okay? Thanks. Please note that that wasn't bad camera work. That was the eagle hitting the thermals and being shot up and down. Okay. So I just want you to realize what the Lord has been speaking to me about is that we are called to live as Christians like eagles. We haven't been called to be chickens or crows pecking on the ground. We have been called to live as eagles. And many times as Christians, last week I talked about bringing the good news, and I just realized, you know, it doesn't help us bringing the good news if we haven't had the good news, and we're not living the good news, and we aren't that letter that Paul talks about written to people. If we're not living that life of victory, that eagle life, then we, like William said, you know, it's like, then you're not knowing Christ. You don't know who you are in Christ. So I just sense that the Lord wants us to realize who we are again in Christ. And I've called the sermon this evening, the eagle anointing. Because I believe that we, like in Isaiah chapter 40, if you read the whole of Isaiah chapter 40, it's just an incredible chapter where it's like a start of a new dispensation. The previous 39 chapters of Isaiah all focus on that situation specifically in Israel. And then from verse 42, or chapter 40 to chapter 66, Isaiah starts to write more about the future and about the prophecies of the Messiah coming. And this new dispensation that's going to come. And at the beginning of chapter 40, he talks about comfort. He says, comfort my people, because obviously they're in exile and they're depressed and they're wondering, has God left them and is this God really for them? And the whole of chapter 40 goes about how awesome God is. And the prophet reminds the people that God is just this awesome God. And he's amazing. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. And he says here in verse 27, he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. And then he goes on to say that he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. And he talks here about even the youths that think that they're strong because they have young blood in them and they are all young and strong. Even they who rely on their own strength shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He says, whoever relies on his own strength will not make it. But he's got hope here in verse 31. He says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so I believe many times as Christians we don't understand who we are. We're not soaring like that eagle. We're not living the life of the eagle. And we allow our circumstances to get us down. But yeah, in the Bible it says clearly that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. This waiting on the Lord is not a passive waiting. Because many times you just sit back and say, okay, God, you do what you've got to do. It's a saying to God, God, I'm surrendering like we're saying tonight, but I'm trusting you actively. I'm saying, I'm making commitment, Lord, that you are in control of my life. And I will be obedient and I will sacrifice things for you, God, because I know that you are in control of my life. I give my whole life to you. I wait on you actively. I do what you say that I must do despite my feelings, despite my circumstances. And he says that those who wait shall truly renew their strength. They shall mount up and fly like wings like eagles. They shall not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And talking about running and being weary, I went for a run yesterday morning. My wife was all excited to run, so she went for a run and came back and said, come, you must get out of bed. You must go for a run now. It'll be good for you. It's awesome in the morning. I thought, yeah, you know, I'm not the best morning person, but let me go, you know. So I went and I started and I thought, oh, this is not going to be a great run because I'm not feeling too awake right now. And I'm feeling like, well, the first half of my run, I was still sleeping. But anyway, so I thought, am I going to make it? And halfway through the run, I thought, maybe I must just turn back and just go back home because I'm not feeling great. And, you know, and then the Lord just reminded me, well, you're praying about being an eagle and flying and not growing weary. So you better finish this run. You know, you've got a testimony to share tomorrow. And I'm, okay, cool, God, I'll keep running. But I didn't have the greatest run. And on the way back, I just decided I'm going to do what I set out to do. I'm going to do my 30 minutes. I'm going to run and finish. And I'm sure I'll enjoy it when I've finished, you know, but running, it wasn't great. And so on the way back, I sort of turned around. I ran with the sun on the way out. And on the way back, I ran against the sun. I thought, oh no, this is even worse. Now I've got to face the sun in my eyes. I haven't got sunglasses on. It's all terrible. And as I was running, this cloud just came in front of the sun. And now yesterday, for those of you who know, there weren't really many clouds around yesterday. But yesterday morning, there was a nice cloud just in front of the sun where I was running. And it just made the second half of my run so much better than it would have been having the sun shine in my eyes. And then the Lord just reminded me, he says, this is who I am. This is the one in the word that's promised that when you run, you will not grow weary. I will provide for you. I will make sure that things fall into place that you can finish the race, even though you maybe not feeling great. Even though, you know, you've got the sun in your eyes, I will make sure that things work together that you can finish this race stronger than you started. And when I finished that run, I was so excited. I thought, this is a better feeling than what I had when I started. Because God truly promises that He will be faithful to us when we trust in Him and we renew our strength in knowing Him. And so this evening, I want to speak about being an eagle and you know, being who we really are. It's not something that's changed in us. We just need to be reminded of who we really are. We are eagles. We're supposed to be like eagles. And yeah, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18, it says the following. The writer of Proverbs says that there are three things that are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. First one is the way of an eagle in the air. The second one is the way of a serpent on a rock. The third one is the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the fourth one is the way of a man with a virgin. And he talks about amazing things that are too wonderful and too great to understand. Even for us as Christians, we don't seem to understand these things. They are so glorious and mysterious. And obviously, each of them represents a different aspect of the church and of us as Christians, and I don't want to go into all of them, but the one that I want to focus on is the first one, the way of an eagle in the air. I mean, if you watch that clip, you just think that is just amazing, how an eagle soars like that. And the mystery of the Christian life who has learned to soar in the heavenlies, just like that eagle, far above all the challenges, far above the winds of adversity and the storms of life, and sometimes even flying into the storm, and we'll talk about that tonight, without any visible means of human aid or support, because that's who we are as Christians. We have learned to partake of the divine nature, acting and talking like a true child of God, like a true Christian. That is the eagle that we are supposed to be. And it's a mystery. It's something that's amazing. You know, faith is a mystery. When we become a saint, an eagle saint, it is one of the mysteries of faith that we no longer seem to be content with mediocrity, but we begin to act like our Savior Himself. We begin to act like Jesus, living in victorious, dynamic, overcoming faith. You see, the Christian becomes like an eagle who mounts up and rides on the air currents with hardly any effort. And you see, some of us are flapping around, having to do with having satisfied with the scraps that we seem to pick up like chickens. God has not called us to be a crow or a sparrow or a chicken. He's called us to be an eagle. I want to say to you this evening, you are made for the heavens. Turn to someone next to you and say, you are made for the heavens. You are made to fly. So this evening, I want to look at some characteristics. I want to look at seven characteristics of the eagle. Which is amazing and so life-changing, all of this. So if you embrace this tonight, that's why I felt God wants you to make space in your heart that you can embrace this as a lifestyle and live as the eagle who you're supposed to be, you know, because we forget where we've come from. We forget the God that has saved us. The first thing that I want to look at this evening when it comes to an eagle is that eagles fly with eagles. Listen to the story. It's the story of an eagle that had lost its identity. An eaglet once fell from his nest and a farmer found him and took him home. He put him together with the chickens. The eaglet began clucking and pecking at some grains on the ground as the chickens did. And since he thought he was a chicken as he was growing along with them. And once the farmer's friend visited this farm and he saw this eaglet amongst the chickens and he said, "You're supposed to be an eagle. You are meant for the heavens. What are you doing here with the chickens?" So he picked this little eaglet up, threw him into the air, and what happened? He flapped his wings and fell to the ground and went back to the chickens. The next time the friend visited the farm again, he saw this eaglet and he just said, "You know, you're supposed to be with the eagles. You're supposed to fly." So he took him up to the top of the barn and he threw him down again, and same thing happened. He flapped his wings and fell down again and went back to the chickens. The third time, this friend of the farmer's came and he was really sad when he saw this eagle still here amongst the chickens. So he took the eaglet to the top of the mountain. He threw him high in the air. And obviously this eaglet was freaked out, very frightened, fell down and started to flap its wings and kept falling and then flapped its wings even harder, and suddenly it found out this is what it was made to do. It was made to fly. And suddenly he soared up into the sky and he disappeared. He had learned to do what he was supposed to do. You see, we are not called to be chickens in the barnyard. We are called to fly like eagles in the heavens. But you see, when you're with the chickens, you start to think like a chicken. You start to act like a chicken and you start to embrace the lifestyle of a chicken. But I want to say to you this evening, your place as a Christian is not with the chickens. It's in the heavens with the eagles. You see, eagles fly at such high altitude that no other sparrows, no other birds can go to the height of the eagle. And that's why eagles fly with eagles. But many times, what do? We compromise and we allow the things of this world to determine, no, you're actually a chicken, so you better just stay satisfied with scraps. You better just stay on the ground here and be happy with the life that we are living. But you see, I want to say this evening, we need to surround ourselves with other eagles, people of the truth. We need to be inspired by eagles who are flying, by eagles who are changing the world, and not be happy with just being amongst the chickens. And we need to be rooted in the Word of God and not in the opinions of others, as Psalm 1 verse 1 says. It says the following, that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And it says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, I'm not saying this evening that we need to cut ourselves off from the world. That's not at all what I'm saying. We're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to bring the good news to where the darkness is. But what I'm saying tonight is many times we allow input in our lives to determine a chicken lifestyle and a chicken mentality. And we're supposed to be with the eagles. We're supposed to surround ourselves with people who can inspire us and not sit with people who are scorning and who are mocking. And you know, we get used to the Skinner, and what do? We just add to the Skinner and we add to small talk and we just get used to that lifestyle. Talking behind people's backs, doing the ungodly thing. But blessed is the man who walks not in that counsel. His delight is in the truth and his delight is in the lifestyle of an eagle. Eagles fly with eagles. So I want to say to you this evening, if you may be isolated, yeah, maybe you're not part of the church, I want to say come and join with us because we're an eagle church. Many times we don't act like that, but that's why I'm preaching the sermon tonight, because we are eagles. We're supposed to live like eagles. But come and be inspired by eagles. Come and see who are the eagles who are going places, changing the world. Not sitting in a lifestyle of ungodliness. The second thing that eagles do is found here in Job verse 39. Job chapter 39 verse 27. "Is it at your command," Job writes, "that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? On the rock he dwells and makes his home, on the rocky crag and stronghold. From there he spies out the prey. His eyes behold it afar off." You see, an eagle has strong vision up to 3 kilometers while flying high in the air. The scientists say that eagle has 2 centers of focus. In other words, not like us who just have 1 center of focus. An eagle can look in the front and at the side at the same time. An eagle can see a little bit better, quite a lot better than us as humans. An eagle's eye is almost as large as a human's, but its sharpness is at least 4 times more than that of a person with perfect vision. That's quite, if you've got good vision, you'll know, you can see quite far. But guess what? An eagle can see 4 times. The sharpness of the vision, 4 times that. An eagle can identify a rabbit moving at least 1 mile away. Poor rabbits and rats and rodents and things walking on the ground, they've got no chance when an eagle flies over. And that eagle's hungry. That thing's not going to survive. That thing's not going to be able to camouflage itself. Because if you work it out, an eagle flying at an altitude of about 300 meters over open space could spot his prey over an area of 1.5 square kilometers from a fixed position. An eagle has an amazing ability to see. Amazing vision. It sees its prey afar off, the Bible says. And you see, when an eagle sights his prey, which may even be at a very long distance, that eagle doesn't take his eye off the prey. He focuses on that prey, he narrows his focus, sets his sights to get it, and no matter what the obstacles, the eagle will not move his focus until he's got that prey. You see, as Christians, we need to have and ask God for that vision and that focus that we go and spot that prey and spot the enemy and go for it. But many times when we see the enemy coming, we just think, oh, someone else will sort this enemy out. Maybe God will sort it out, but God says, you know what, you spot that prey, you do what I tell you to do, but you keep your focus on your calling, you keep your focus on your vision that I've given you, and you know what, the enemies will flee. See, God wants us to see our prey and our enemies from a long way off, but we need to be focused, we need to have incredible vision like the eagle. And guess what, we have it in Christ and by His Spirit. It's not a natural thing, it's not something you're going to see with your eyes, it's something that we're going to do by the Spirit. We're going to ask God for that vision again. Because we're supposed to have the vision of the eagle. We're supposed to see from a long way off. We're supposed to dwell up there in the rocky crags and the strongholds and look from a place of above and not below. We need to live from a place of incredible vision. Thirdly, eagles generally do not eat dead things. Maybe, you know, like the sin in the world, some eagles maybe also fall every now and again and they fall for scraps because, you know, they're a bit tired. But generally, eagles are not like vultures. Eagles don't eat dead things. They feed on fresh prey because they've got that ability to catch that prey. And they don't need to settle for second best where someone else, some other animal has caught something and they need to feed on that. They can catch their own prey. Eagles feed on live food. And I want to say to you this evening, as a Christian, we must be careful what we feed ourselves with. We must be careful for the information that we allow into our lives. Do we allow second-hand information? Do we feed off someone else's revelation? Or do we feed on the fresh revelation of who Jesus is? Because He says the following in John 6, verse 57. He says, as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So that he who feeds on me will live because of me. Isn't that amazing? He who feeds on me, he who feeds on Jesus Christ will live. Will live the life of an eagle. We'll have live prey, live ammunition, live information. Real revelation of who God is in our lives. God doesn't want us to feed on second-hand information. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go to Qum and buy a few books and read other people. That's fine. Just make sure these days with Qum, there's a lot of stuff out there that's there's a lot of more bones than meat. You know, they say when you read a book, just eat the meat and spit out the bones. There's a lot of bones out there. Okay, there's not a lot of meat. But you know what? The Bible is full of meat. And if we feed on the Word of God and having a living relationship, like William confirmed in the offering, having a living relationship with Christ where it's revelation to you. He's speaking directly to you. You don't need to always rely on a sermon. And I'm not saying you mustn't, you know, please listen to sermons. Listen to these anointed preachers and teachers out there. But just make sure you're feeding primarily on the revelation that God is giving you. Because eagles don't eat dead things. Eagles feed on live stuff. It gets exciting when we become an eagle. Turn to someone next to you and shake them and say, you're an eagle. Number four, we're getting somewhere this evening. Number four, eagles, unlike any other bird, they love the storm. Anyone going through a storm in your life right now? Anyone going through a dry patch or challenging time? Just be honest. Yeah. Is anyone feeling like it's end of the year and it's challenging? There's a storm in your life right now. You know what? As an eagle, you must embrace that storm. You must love that storm. Because an eagle can sense a storm long before he sees one. And while all the other birds are running and hiding from the storm, the eagle flies right into that storm. And uses the storm and the currents to fly and to rise higher and to rise above that storm. So I want to say to you, when the clouds start to gather in your life, you know what? You must be like an eagle and get excited. The eagle uses the storm to reach much higher places. Once it finds the wind of that storm, you know what it does? Like we saw, it stops flapping. It locks its wings and it allows the currents of that storm to just push it and to shoot it right up, where it can even see further and see higher. And the amazing thing is that it stops flapping its wings and it uses the pressure to soar and to glide, and it gives that opportunity for it to rest its wings. Isn't that amazing? As an eagle in the storms of life, we are supposed to rest our wings and say, God, I'm locking my wings now, but I'm flying into the storm. I'm choosing to not be intimidated by the storm in my life, but to fly through it and to fly over it. So I want to say this evening, you as a Christian, if you're an eagle Christian, you must love that storm and not fight the storm. Because many times we fight the storm and we start flapping our wings and, you know, cackling like chickens again. Oh, there's the storm, and we get stressed. And God says, no, don't fight your storm. The enemy, fight your enemy. I have anyway fought your enemy. I've defeated the enemy. I came to destroy the works of the devil. I've defeated him. But you know what? The storm is there that you can start to change. That you can fly much higher. So don't fight your storm. But find out from God where the storm has come from. Why is the storm in your life? Because God allows it. God is in control of everything. He allows the storms in your life so that you can be shot forth. And you can become an eagle and fly. And you know what? He uses anyone to bring the storm into our life sometimes. He uses people. James 1 says the following, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It produces that patience where you just decide you're going to keep your wings locked now. You're not going to flap like a chicken. You're going to fly into the storm, but you've got to choose to fly into that storm. You can't run away from the storm or hide or wait for better weather. When the rains and the storm come, you go for it. Because it produces in you a patience. It produces in you the fruits of the Spirit. See, an eagle Christian knows his authority in the Word, and when the storms come, he faces them in prayer. His life is balanced. He spends time studying the Word in prayer and in fellowship with God and with other Christians. And you know what the first thing we normally do when the storms come? Anyone had this? You run away. You want to hide. No, no, I'll sort this problem out myself. And what do? We isolate ourselves, run away from the fellowship, run away from that flying with other eagles. We want to try and do it on our own. You see, complacent Christians, they accept the problems. They're like chickens and they're powerless to overcome them. Their wings are underdeveloped. They cannot fly. They may know the Word of God in their minds. And I really believe this is, we have to be honest with ourselves. We know the Word of God in our minds. We confess Scripture and we sing lots of songs. But God says, I want you to know it in your heart. I want you to fly into that storm and embrace what I'm doing in your life. Be like an eagle. Don't be like a chicken. Have a heart-to-heart relationship with God. Walk in His power. Apply the spiritual principles. But you see, chickens have not fed on the Scriptures. They feed on the worldly scraps that have made them fat and lazy, and they do not know how to use the Word to fight effectively and win spiritual battles. But the eagle knows how to fight. The eagle knows it doesn't have to fight the storm. The storm is going to help it to fight and to overcome the battle. So I want to say this evening, if you're going through a storm in your life and you're an eagle, you know what? You must love that storm. Embrace that storm and say, God, thank you for the storm. Thank you that I'm going to grow. I'm going to become better. I'm going to become more passionate for you. I'm going to rise to greater heights with a storm in my life. Are you excited this evening to embrace the storms? Because guess what? This storm that finishes in your life right now, you know what? It's not going to be the last one. There'll be more storms in your life. There'll be more challenges. But you know what? When you become mature as an eagle, you'll know how to handle the storm. You'll know you actually embrace it. So I want to say, have patience with yourself as well. If you're a young Christian and you spiritually and emotionally maybe immature, that's fine. That's where you are at. But say, God, teach me. And we'll talk about this now. We'll talk about discipleship now. But still, start to love and start to embrace the storm as an eagle. Number five. Very interesting here about how the eagles have courtship and mating. Okay? Because only when an eagle is 3 years old, the male eagle starts to take an interest in the female eagle. Okay? That's quite young. Now, yesterday when I went to the rugby, who's a bull supporter around here? I suppose you won't be. A couple of honest people. Okay? They were actually with me, so we had a good time. It's sweet revenge for the Super 15 loss earlier in the year. But anyway, so we went to the rugby. I took Matthew with. And so after halftime, he gets a bit bored and he starts to look around. And now he seems to be an eagle because now he discovers this little three-year-old or two-year-old girl now. And so he's like wanting to go then. Where are you going, Matthew? And then I see now he just wants to hold her hand like that. And then her mother's holding her hand. She says, now he wants to be with. And so the mother holds the one hand and Matthew holds the girl's other hand. They walk down the stairs like that and they go and chat there at the bottom. And I'm thinking, Matthew must be an eagle then, because at 3 years old, he takes an interest in females. Okay. But anyway, it was all cute and everything. But it's interesting that when eagles play this game of tag between the male and the female, it lasts for days because there's a testing that happens here. Ladies, listen to me. You must test a guy before you trust him. Because an eagle does the following. The female eagle takes a stick and about 2.5 to 3 kilometers up in the air, takes the stick and it drops the stick and it tests if this male eagle is going to catch the stick before the stick falls to the ground. So the male eagle has to dive down and fly and catch the stick. And she says, okay, great. So she'll fly a little bit low with an even heavier stick to make the stick fall faster. And so she tests him again and drops the stick down. And this eagle has, male eagle has to fly and catch the stick again at the bottom. And it goes on for a couple of times until she has decided that this male eagle is worth marrying. So she tests him. She makes sure that. And if he drops that stick, man, cheers, next one. Anyone else? So ladies, you need to test a little bit more. You need to play a little bit more hard to get if you're an eagle. Okay, guys, I'm sorry about this. I'm making it hard. I'm married. Yes, I've got my... Some of the single guys I know you're pursuing and you're trying your best. And yeah, that stick just seems to fall all the time. And so at 150 meters, she drops the stick, and that is quite close to the ground. So this male eagle has to be pretty sharp if he's going to marry this female eagle. But anyway, when she has decided that he's good enough to catch the stick, because why? She's just testing if he's going to catch the little young that they're going to train up to fly, because she lets them fall, and he better catch them. And so she's making sure that he is able to catch her young. And she wants to be assured that he will make a fit husband. He will make a committed husband. You see, eagles test before they trust. And it's amazing how we as Christians just, we don't look for that faithfulness. We don't look for faithful people. We just trust anyone. And it says here in Proverbs 20 verse 6, most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? As Christians and as eagles, we're supposed to look for faithfulness. We're supposed to look for integrity. We cannot just trust anyone, and especially when it comes to covenant relationships and in marriage specifically, but also even with people that we meet, we our hearts are many times broken. Why? Because we've just allowed people to walk over us. We haven't tested the faithfulness of people in our lives. I'm talking about relationships here, not only guy-girl relationships, even same-sex relationships. We allow people just to walk over us. We don't test that faithfulness. We don't look for the friend that's going to stick closer than a brother. Many will say they are loyal friends, the New Living Translation says, but who can find one who is truly reliable? Because you see, it's easy to proclaim your own faithfulness. But just ask a guy to come faithfully, to pack some chairs, to be on duty in church, to be faithfully in the band every week when it's difficult. Who can find one who's faithful? And as Christians, when we meet people and we start to walk in partnership with people, we must trust people. We must test them and see if we can trust them. We need to look for faithfulness in people. That is the life of an eagle. And it's amazing, just to add some more information, the marriage vows of the eagle are made between 3 and 5 kilometers in the air. Imagine making your marriage vows right up there in the air. And the ceremony happens when there's a locking of talons and there's turning head over heels and both eagles are screaming with joy and they're totally committed to their mates. They will remain together for life. Eagles understand a bit of covenant, just like God wants us to understand the covenant. Between a man and a woman, between us and God, our commitment, our sold out relationship with the living God Himself. We need to trust and make sure we as Christians are trustworthy as well. Number six, eagles are trained to maturity. This is now the exciting one here. Like an eagle that stirs up his nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. So the Lord alone guided him. No foreign God was with him. The writer here is talking about God bringing the Israelites out of Egypt and how faithful God was to guide them. You see, during the time of training the young ones to fly, the mother eagle throws the eaglets out of the nest. This is quite a painful process for a young eaglet learning to fly. And so what happens is that they're scared, so they jump back into the nest. So the mother says, okay, cool, I see you're not ready yet. You know what? I'll just have to cause a little bit of a situation, yeah? So what she does is she throws them out again, but then she takes the soft layer of the nest off. And you know, the nest is made up of lots of thorns and sticks, and so she takes the soft layer out of the nest, and the nest is left with all these thorns. And so when the eaglet jumps back into the nest, then it gets pricked, and then it thinks, oh, what's happening here? So it's all bleeding and scarred and almost feeling rejected. But the mother eagle is just trying to say, listen here, it's time for you now to get out of the nest. It's time for you to fly. And so poor eaglet is shrieking and bleeding, and it jumps out again, wondering why its parents are torturing it. And then the mother says, you haven't seen anything yet. And she pushes the little eaglet off the cliff. And as they shriek in fear, the father eagle flies out and catches them on his back, brings them back up again. And this process continues up to 7 to 8 times until this little eaglet learns to flap its wings properly and start to fly. And the amazing thing is when it's discovered that excitement and that newfound knowledge that it can fly, it's just amazing. It realizes who it is. It realizes that it's an eagle and not an eaglet anymore. It can fly. And you see, many times the pricking that happens when we want to stay in the comfort zone and stay in the nest, then that pricking happens when God is just trying to say, you know what, I want you to be who you're called to be. I want you to fly now. You can't stay in this nest all the time. I'm going to start removing the feathers here because it's time for growth. It's time for maturity. And I know some of you are going through this because I've spoken to people this week, and it's fantastic because you know what? God is doing stuff in your life. God is allowing those thorns just to prick you a bit so that you can get out of your comfort zone and grow to the next level. But you see, eagles train their young to maturity, and God is the same. God is the father eagle. He trains us to maturity. And that is what discipleship is about. Discipleship is not just about rubbing someone's back and saying, you're so awesome, you're so great. It's about training us to discipleship, training us to maturity. So many times we just want to say how great people are, and we don't want to confront people and say, listen, yeah, it's time now to move. It's time to get out of that sin that you're struggling with and that comfort zone that you've created for yourself. It's time to move on to maturity. And the storms in your life will allow for that. The storms in your life are for that. God uses lots of people, and God uses us in other people's lives. But if we eagles, we must learn to train our own children physically, but also our spiritual children to maturity. We must start to challenge people. And we ourselves as Christians must grow to this place where we participate with God. Because you see, if you're not experiencing life, then you need to progress and you need to learn and you need to say, God, I need to grow. But you know what it takes? A participation. That little eaglet has to participate in that process. It's got to go through that pain. It's got to go through the flying, the learning how to fly. And we need to participate with what God is doing in our lives and cooperate with Him. Don't resist what He's doing in your life. Be an eagle. Be a true eagle. The last one this evening. Eagles know when to retire. You see, when an eagle grows old, his feathers become weak and his wings cannot take him as fast as they should. And so what he does is when he feels weak and he's about to die, he retires to a place far away in the rocks and he goes to sit himself up there and he plucks out all his feathers. An incredibly painful process. Every feather until he's completely bare, and then he just waits there. He stays in that hiding place until he has grown new feathers. And then what does he do? He flies even further and even faster than he's done before. Takes off with greater strength, and he comes out and he's got an even greater passion for what he's been living for, what he's supposed to live for. You see, we need to come to this place sometimes where we retire, where we rest, not because life is so tough and we need a break. It's so that we can recuperate for the next season. so that we can grow feathers for the next purpose. And that's why you'll see people like Angus Buchan, and just look at some old Christians who are almost dying, but you know what? They'll still preach the gospel. They'll still go even more for God than they have before. Because there's no such thing as a retirement in the kingdom. We go and like an eagle goes until it dies. But if it's feeding like down like that, then all it does is just retires and says, I want new feathers. I want to go to the next level. I got this email this week from Sunlum. It says, are you worried about your retirement savings? Or something like that. Are you worried about your retirement savings? You are not alone, it says. I just like, you know, delete. Who's worried about retirement savings when you've got the kingdom to live for? When you've got an inheritance in heaven? But you see, sometimes you need to come to that place of retirement. Not giving up, not quitting, just that place of recuperation and rest where you say, God, it's rest because I'm excited. And you know what? This December, it's going to be a long holiday for some of you students. So all I want to say to you is don't rest because, oh, this year's been so tough or I need a holiday. It's say, God, I need this feathers to grow again. I want to pluck out all the old stuff and I want to be ready for 2014. I want to fly even further 2014 than I did this year. I want to do awesome things for your kingdom. But I want to use this time not just to veg and sit back and, you know, just complain about the year that's passed. I want to say, God, I want new feathers to grow. I want you to pluck out all the sin and all the stuff that so easily ensnares us, like Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2 says, you know, let us lay aside those things which burden us. Let us come to that place of rest. Because look here what Matthew 11 says. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you have to come to that place of where you just retire and you realize, you know what? There's a lot of old feathers here. There's a lot of stuff that needs plucking out. Take my yoke upon me, upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, yeah, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need to come to Jesus and find that rest in him. But you know what that rest is? It's when we take his yoke upon us. We don't just say, oh, okay, I'll just do nothing now. No, no, we still take a yoke upon us, the yoke of the kingdom and the yoke of living for the purpose of Christ. The yoke of souls and saying, God, I want to yearn for souls. I want to see souls saved. I want to take that yoke upon me. But I want to come to that place where I'm not flapping around. I'm just resting in you. And I'm excited for next year. I've got a purpose to live for the next season in my life, whether it be a year or just, you know, on a Sunday, you need to take a rest for the week. A Sunday is not supposed to be a rest day at the end of the week. It's supposed to be a rest for the start of the new week. So that you can live for with purpose again on a Monday. That you don't just take 5 days to get into the week and then let's live for the weekend again, you know. But let's on a Sunday, let's consecrate ourselves and say, God, I want to retire every week where you just start to pluck out the stuff that's preventing me from living fully for you. That's why we have rest days or Sunday. But it's that place where you come to God and you unburden yourself and you remove the burdens which are not supposed to be there. And you take his yoke upon you. You take the kingdom first principle where it says, seek first the kingdom. And these things will be added. All these burdens that we stress about and worry about, that will be added. God says he promises it in his word. But how much do we worry about the food we eat, the clothes we wear, all these things, the money we have? How much do we worry about it? And the burden is, God just says, my burden is easy. The burden of the kingdom is so much easier than the burden of the world. Because I've already overcome the world. And so take his yoke upon you. Rest. But the amazing thing is that eagles know this. Eagles retire and they grow new feathers and they're excited for that. They live for that cause until they die. So my last scripture this evening, we're going to take some communion tonight. And we're going to just say, God, we want to be eagles tonight. The band can come forward because I just want to read this last scripture to you. From Exodus chapter 19, from verse 4. Once again, God's speaking to Moses and he's saying to the Moses, you better tell these people, tell the Israelites what I've done for them. Tell them the following. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You have seen it. You have a testimony. You have a witness of it. How I bore you on eagle's wings. Isn't that amazing? The father eagle himself. Carrying us, bearing us, taking our burdens. And what he did for the Israelites, he wants to do for us. He bore those people on eagle's wings and he brought them to himself. He brought them out of the land of bondage, out of the land of Egypt. And his amazing daddy eagle brought the people to himself. And he wants to do the same to us. He wants to remind us of how he has carried us on his eagle's wings. And you know what? He wants to train us up to be eagles. It says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. I love the word above there. It just talks about the eagle lifestyle above. It's not like you're better than anyone else. But you know, God as a special people, those people who have committed to him. We are more special than other people. God loves everyone, but you know what? Everyone's not going to go to heaven. You have to commit your life to Jesus. You have to be part of his special people. Above. The lifestyle of above in the heavenly places. For all the earth is mine, says God. But you see, there's a prerequisite here. We need to obey his voice and keep his covenant. We need to live like eagles live. Understanding covenant. Understanding the relationship that we have with God and who we are in Christ. So I want to say to you this evening, you are God's chosen eagles. Say to someone next to you, you are God's chosen eagle, his special treasure. So I want to say to you tonight, you're not a chicken. And some of us are eagles, but you know what? We like in the beginning of that story, we're living in the barnyard. We're living with that chicken because someone told us we're supposed to be there. And the Lord is telling us all tonight, we are eagles. We're supposed to fly in the heavenlies. We're supposed to soar above the circumstances and supposed to live a life of faith. Because then we're going to save the world and change the world. Through Christ, obviously. But you know what? We're going to be world changers if we're eagles. But chickens and crows and those other birds are not going to change the world. But an eagle. When you start to embrace the Spirit and you start to fly on wings like eagles, despite your circumstances, you run and you don't grow weary. You walk and you don't faint. I want to ask Henry just to show this video clip. And just watch this video. And the ushers are going to just hand out the communion while you watch this video. But just allow the Lord to speak to you about who he is in this video clip.
The Bible says my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I could describe him, so yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible.
off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand it, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in it. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
I just want us all to stand this evening and just to realize who the one is that has made it possible for us to be eagles, to be Christians, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be living the life that He has called us to live, and that is to fly, to soar, to see our prey from afar, to see our enemies, to outwit our enemies because of what Jesus has done. The Bible says in 1 John 3 verse 8 that for this reason, the Son of Man was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. And I'm just sensing that we are allowing the devil too many times territory in our lives. We need to take back that territory. We need to fly again and see the territory that he has taken back from us. And then we need to start to destroy by the power of the Spirit and by warfare and by proclamation, by whatever it takes, to say, devil, I'm drawing a line right now. We are eagles. We are Christians. We are saved, redeemed. We're going to take ground for Him in the city. Okay, if we're going to take ground in the city for Jesus, you know what? We're going to have to be eagles. We cannot do it on the ground. We cannot do it as a crow or as a vulture with second-hand scraps and with leftovers. We're going to have to take ground in this city from the above. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.